From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in John chapter 17 and verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. It is a sweet and blessed event which will occur to all believers in God's own time, the going home to be with Jesus. In a few more years, the Lord's soldiers who are now fighting the good fight of faith will have done with conflict and have entered into the joy of their Lord. But although Christ prays that His people may eventually be with Him where He is, He does not ask that they may be taken at once away from this world to heaven. He wishes them to stay here. Yet how frequently does the weary pilgrim put up the prayer, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, or then would I fly away and be at rest." But Christ does not pray like that. He leaves us in His Father's hands, until, like shocks of corn fully ripe, we shall each be gathered into our Master's garner. Jesus does not plead for our instant removal by death, for to abide in the flesh is needful for others, if not profitable for ourselves. He asks that we may be kept from evil, but He never asks for us to be admitted to the inheritance in glory till we are of full age. Christians often want to die when they have any trouble. Ask them why, and they tell you, "Because we would be with the Lord." We fear it is not so much because they are longing to be with the Lord, as because they desire to get rid of their troubles. Else they would feel the same wish to die at other times, when not under the pressure of trial. They want to go home, not so much for the Savior's company, as to be at rest. Now it is quite right to desire to depart if we can do it in the same spirit that Paul did, because to be with Christ is far better. But the wish to escape from trouble is a selfish one. Rather, let your care and wish be to glorify God by your life here as long as He pleases, even though it be in the midst of toil and conflict and suffering, and leave Him to say when it is enough.
The prize
with patience and endurance.
Passion consume us as to the truth we hold.
With our calling so sure, victory secure, steadfast we press to the goal. Keep the race before us.
Keep our hearts turned toward the prize.
With patience and endurance, the cross standing firm.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. This edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues to focus upon the weeping Christ, the second of several messages on Christ, the friend of sinners. Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 show Christ weeping over Jerusalem. In considering the tears of Christ, Dr. Cairns is pointing out how they reveal the Savior as the man of sorrows. As we've seen, those tears are a proof of our Lord's true humanity. At the tomb of Lazarus, they were tears of sympathy. His tears over Jerusalem reflected his heart of mercy for the city and its people, who failed to recognize his true identity. In Gethsemane, he wept to survive that ordeal in order to go to the cross. In the second place, Christ's tears prove his compassion for sinners. This is love beyond human understanding. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of this message, The Weeping Christ.
The tears of Jesus at the grave of Lazarus tell us that there is one whose heart is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. There is one who understands the way we take. There is one who knows the darkness of the road we travel. There is one who knows the heartbreak that we feel. There is one who can enter where no one else on earth can enter, when we feel ourselves entirely enveloped by the trials and the troubles, the overwhelming pressures of life. There is one who knows all about that and who knows all about us, who enters in with us. There are times in life when you leave your nearest and your dearest behind. There are times in life when even your loved one can hold your hand, but they cannot touch your heart. There are times when they cannot penetrate the darkness. They cannot alleviate the oppression. They cannot bear you along. All their sympathy at times seems but to exacerbate the awful loneliness and alienation, the burden of your heart. Dearest friends recede into the mists of impotence. Then you find the truth. The old chorus used to be so popular. Nowadays you hardly ever hear it. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. The tears of Jesus, our Savior, at the tomb of Lazarus, were tears of sympathy. We read of him weeping. With strong cries and tears, we are told, in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Gethsemane's gloom, they were tears of agony. I'm not going to try to penetrate that. I freely confess, I cannot do it. Many years ago, and I have mentioned this some couple of years back from this pulpit, I think, but many years ago, and I was not long in the pastorate in Sharon Drive, we did a brief series of studies on the tears of Christ. The service, I don't know that the sermon was anything profound or unique, but the service was. I remember people after that talking about the feeling of darkness, spiritual struggle, spiritual battle that they had been introduced to. I remember in my study that week, spending periods of time before God with his word and in prayer, crying to God that he would make this real to me in a way that I had never felt before. And for the only time in my ministry, I had to cry to God to give no more. I cannot penetrate that darkness. Tears of agony. This was the precursor to that cry on Calvary, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Hear the Lord Jesus in all, and I use the word because it's a scriptural word, in all the weakness of his humanity. For we are told he was crucified in weakness. In all the weakness of his humanity, divested of all the help of his friends, with all hell let loose against him, in all the greatest concentration of hellish fury ever recorded in human history. With Calvary looming before him and the weight of a lost world upon his heart, in the agony of his soul he cries with strong tears. The amazing love was this, that the cry in its essence was a cry to survive Gethsemane in order to be able to go to Calvary. The man, Christ Jesus, this tears of agony, he suffered. Oh, how he suffered. Never forget what Dr. Shedd, great Presbyterian theologian, used to remark. The essence of atonement is suffering. The essence of atonement is suffering. When you look into the soul of the Lord Jesus through the tears of his agony, remember he suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And then, of course, at Jerusalem's doom, his tears were tears of mercy. Tears of mercy. I stand amazed at the tears of Jesus Christ, our Savior, over the city of Jerusalem. I stand amazed because, again, I remind you of the place and the people. And standing in that place, beholding that people, our Lord Jesus wept tears of mercy. Why? Because he said, I came to seek. And I came to save that which was lost. So the tears are first a proof of the true humanity of Christ. But they are also a proof of something else, and that is the tender-heartedness of Christ. Again, remember, those tears were not for himself. They were not over Jerusalem tears at the prospect of his own suffering. They were not even tears for his disciples. They were not tears for the bereavement of his mother. They were tears for his enemies. Tears for the very people who were just about to murder him. What a marvelous thing is the love of Christ. The hymn writer put in words the testimony of everyone who's ever been awakened to receive the grace of God. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one. And we must never minimize. I think we do this, you know. We shouldn't. We look at the person of Christ, but he's God manifested in the flesh. Yes, he is. And from this pulpit, I have never failed. I hope to take an opportunity to emphasize the absolute and the true, eternal, essential, unchangeable deity of Jesus Christ. Without that, we have no gospel. And I will go further and say, without that, we have no God. For there is no God apart from Jesus Christ and the revelation in him. It's in him that we know God. It's in him that God has revealed himself. It's in Jesus Christ that man and God come together to meet. And there is no other meeting place. There is no other communion. There is no other heart knowledge of God. God is not a God. He is the God. and He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I've never, by the grace of God, never will cease to proclaim the deity of Christ. But His humanity is as real as His deity. Understand that. And while His deity is not humanized, His humanity is not deified. These are two natures in one person. Now, I can say those words. I cannot explain the mystery. I cannot explain the miracle. I have to be honest with you and tell you, I use words all the time and I have no real idea as to the inner meaning of those words. I can talk about human nature. I haven't a clue what a nature is. I can give you definitions of theologians, but they are whistling in the dark. I tell you quite honestly, I cannot explain human nature. How on earth can I explain God manifested in the flesh? If I can explain that, as Dr. Paisley has famously said, we would no longer have a trinity, we would have a quartet. I cannot explain it. But I do believe that the Bible emphasizes the humanity of Jesus Christ for very good reasons. We must never minimize the reality of His suffering. The reality and the passion of His tears. These are not the false tears of an actor. These are not the crocodile tears of a politician. These are not the temporary show of emotion of a shallow-hearted man. Nor are they the frustration of a bitter or a defeated man. Tears may be any or all of those in ordinary men. But these tears of Christ are the deep expression of the heart of the God-man. Now let that sink in. I was thinking of that as I pondered this during the week. Let it sink in. The Lord Jesus knew the wickedness of man better than anybody. When He looked over Jerusalem, this is the omniscient Christ. He saw the city for what it really was. He saw each individual for what he really was. He understood so that He penetrated to the very dark recesses of each human soul. Nobody knew the wickedness of man as the Lord Jesus knew it. Yet He wept over them. Again, I thought, nobody knew the sovereign purpose of God in election as the Lord Jesus did. His disciples didn't, but He did. How do I know He did? Because all of God's elect are elect in Him. He says in John 17 that they are the people that God gave to Him from all eternity. So He knew the distinguishing decree of God's election. Yet, He wept. Not only so, but He knew why He was going to die. The Lord Jesus fully believed in what we term particular redemption. The Lord Jesus knew He was not dying with no purpose. He knew He was not going to the cross to open some door of opportunity that may be or may not be effective. He knew that when he went to die, he was dying for a church that was given him in the covenant of redemption from the in the counsel of God from all eternity. He knew why he was going to die. He had a purpose in mind, and he knew he would accomplish that purpose. Yet he went. I want you to ponder that. Because his knowledge of the wickedness of man, his knowledge of the purpose of God, his knowledge of the particularity of his coming sacrifice, none of this made him either hard-hearted or uncaring toward perishing sinners. And if that was true of the omniscient Christ, how much more should it be true of you and of me, who know so little of the wickedness of man that we cannot even plumb the filthy depths of our own hearts?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.